This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. President Donald Trump's call to implement the death penalty for drug traffickers grabbed headlines Monday, but public health officials are stressing other elements of the administration's plan to address the opioid crisis. Aaron Payne spoke with the acting director of the Centers for Disease Control about plans for the Ohio Valley.
President Trump put an emphasis on punishing drug traffickers during the announcement of his administration's plan to deal with the nation's opioid crisis. But a portion of his speech Monday was dedicated to prevention efforts.
The best way to beat the drug crisis is to keep people from getting hooked on drugs to begin with.
And that includes taking action on overprescribing the opioid painkillers that fueled the opioid crisis in the Ohio Valley region. The Charleston Gazette-Mail has extensively reported on small towns in West Virginia like Kermit, where drug companies shipped 9 million pills for 392 residents over 2 years. Acting Director for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Ann Schuchat, says the CDC will focus on improving data about overprescribing.
And working with the clinical community and states to improve prescribing using tools like the prescription drug monitoring programs.
Schuchat says Kentucky is a model of success for those drug monitoring programs. One of the strengths of Kentucky's system is it is programmed to pull data from surrounding states.
Certainly in the Ohio Valley, so many people cross state borders every day that having information available to clinicians about neighboring state prescriptions will improve the safety of the prescribing for patients.
Schuchat also sees a potential bright spot in data on emergency room visits. The agency recently began gathering data related to emergency room visits involving all opioid overdoses instead of just fatal ones. Researchers reported earlier this month that these visits were trending up nationwide, with some exceptions.
In Kentucky, we saw a 15% decrease in the emergency department visits for opioid overdoses. We need to follow that trend out to see if it persists or if it was just a temporal fluctuation.
Schuchat says the data can be used to develop programs in hospitals that meet people soon after they overdose, including naloxone training or adding navigators to the departments that help guide people to addiction treatment. The role of the CDC, in addition, goes beyond data gathering.
We also have a consumer-facing public awareness campaign called RX Awareness. It's actually been running to some extent in Kentucky and earlier piloted in West Virginia.
The advertising campaign shares stories of people affected by prescription opioids. Schuchat believes with President Trump's announcement, the CDC can expand this campaign and other efforts in the Ohio Valley.
We know that small towns in Appalachia have really been hard hit. We want to make it easy for them to get the resources they need.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Aaron Payne.
The Free Clinic West Virginia Health Ride held a press conference yesterday in Charleston in response to a newspaper article that lumped Health Right's needle exchange program in with the city's. Charleston's needle exchange program recently came under fire due to an increase in the number of needles found in public places. As Carol Lofton reports, proposed city legislation could force HealthRight to shut down their program if Charleston's is also forced to close.
The Kanawha Charleston Health Department launched a needle exchange program in 2015 to reduce the risk of IV drug users' exposure to HIV and hepatitis C. That program was recently criticized by Charleston Mayor Danny Jones and Police Chief Steve Cooper, who say the program has led to an increase in needles found in public places and is a danger to the public. Supporters of the program point to a low rate of HIV outbreaks in Charleston, as well as a decrease in hepatitis C cases, as proof the program's working. But Charleston City Council is considering legislation that would criminalize needle possession. HealthRight CEO Angie Settle held a press conference Wednesday, arguing her organization's needle exchange program has been around since 2011, 4 years before the city's, and has helped a lot of people.
It happened because we're a medical home. We started to see the uptick in the opioid problem. We started to see people with IV drug use. We had patients coming in presenting, saying that they had diabetes and they would get insulin prescribed and needles, and then they would leave the insulin.
She says they quickly realized what was going on.
And at that point, we made an internal decision to really try to comprehensively talk to those people, try to get them into rehab. You know, if they're at the point where they absolutely will not go to rehab, we wanted to have a safeguard because we also test for hepatitis C and HIV, and we have a program there for that. So we wanted to be sure that we had a mechanism to prevent the transmission of disease.
Settle says HealthRight takes a hard line with their needle exchange program. Participants are issued 30 needles. If they don't bring 30 back, they're out. When they come in for the exchange, they also have the option to meet with a social worker to talk about rehab or get treated for other ongoing health conditions. She says about 1 in 3 people in the program end up entering rehab.
I'm not saying they do it on that visit. It may be the second visit, maybe the third visit. May not. They may be here out and about a week later, and suddenly they're, you know, they're ready to go to rehab.
Settle says she hopes city officials will consider a compromise approach so the harm reduction programs can stay open. HealthRight is making a change to the kind of needles it provides in response to the recent criticism from city officials. The new needles are retractable, meaning that once they're used, they're sealed in plastic. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Our producers are Liz McCormick and Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.